So before we get started, I want you to say to that neighbor you just got through talking to, Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. I want us to get used to saying Merry Christmas. You know, I've been hearing Happy Holidays and stuff like that, but I'd want to hear Merry Christmas. You know why? Because we want to be merry that Jesus was born for us, for salvation. And so Merry Christmas to all. And we'll get started in this Christmas season. By the way, before I get started, Alan's going to set up some Christmas decorations inside. And if anybody wants to help him, if it's your gig to set up stuff, you know, and make Christmas tree stuff look good and all that, you guys are more than welcome. I just think that's great you do that, and I love to see it when it's done. But Dave is not very good at putting stuff on, you know, making things look pretty, so... You know, I remember when I was a kid, we did trees, you know, and you know how you put the tinsel on. I don't know if you guys ever remember that old tinsel that came out of the bag, right? You know how I did it? It's a guy thing. It's how you do it, I think, is the key. Yeah. It's kind of messy stuff. All right. Am I still on? I feel like I lost myself. You good? Okay. All right, good. Okay, well, last week we talked about say no in a yes world. Was you guys here for that? Saying no in a yes world. And Jesus, in his Sermon on the Mount, he gave this message about adultery, divorce, vows, retaliation, and then loving unlovable people was how he ended it. How do you love the unlovable? And so he brought this into a place of saying no in a yes world. When people are going in to have relationships with people they shouldn't be having in a sexual way, he was going, say no to that. Just stay firm in your foundation and knowing that God's put you in a place where you need to be careful where your eyes go and where your heart is. And he talked about divorce, that you got to say no to that thing that drives you into a place of divorce and work things through the way the Bible intended us to do so. And when talked about vows, when you make a vow or a covenant, that's part of our relationship with our wives. We made a covenant vow to God that we would love them, men, until death do we part. We were going to take care of them. And so that vow needs to be kept. In fact, Jesus, he gave us kind of a warning not to make vows. You know, unless you're really going to keep those, you should be very careful about what vows you make. And he said, especially keep your vow to the Lord. And how many of you guys have said, Lord, if you get me out of this, remember, I will promise I will do this. Did we keep it? And then retaliation. He doesn't want to retaliate. We don't need to be a retaliating people. We need to turn the other cheek and love them anyway, whoever that may be. And so loving the unlovable, That's a trick that a lot of us are still trying to learn how to do that. But we need to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow the Lord. So today we're going to talk about, we're going to jump right into chapter 6. And we're going to try to work through the whole thing. But it's all the right moves and all the wrong motives. We're going to talk about motives and what the Lord talks about that and how we need to listen to his word. The thing about Jesus and his word for us in the scriptures is it is so deep. You know, when we look at his words compared to like everything else we read in scripture, the Lord is like three-dimensional. I mean, we really have to evaluate what he's trying to say and look at it and tear it apart and look deeply in ourselves. And the only way we can really respond in a right way is to be very humble and see ourselves who we really are and what God's doing in us. And grow there. So all the right moves, all the wrong motives. Father, we ask God that you would open our hearts today, or especially in our thinking. Lord God, we ask, Lord, that you would help us to reveal to ourselves, Lord, the truth of what we do sometimes. And God, that you would put your finger on areas of our lives that we need to just surrender to you wholeheartedly. God, and that we would overcome the things of this world. And God, that we would just be the people you've called us to be. So I ask, God, that you would come right now. Let your Holy Spirit speak to us. Let us hear you clearly, Lord. And then, God, I pray that we would be able to respond in a right manner. So, Lord, bless us today with your presence and open our hearts. In Jesus' name, Hallelujah. Verse 1, chapter 6. All the right moves, all the wrong motives. Beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Now, you guys have to understand, Jesus was preaching and teaching to a multitude of people, and a lot of those folks were Sadducees and Pharisees from the synagogue who Jesus was trying to teach to stop doing the righteous or the self-righteous thing and move into a area of humility before God and see things a little differently than what they were doing. Because he was saying, remember he said last week or week before, I can't remember in the scriptures, he was talking about if we don't do better than that, if we don't understand the scriptures and follow the scriptures in a way that's better than the Sadducees and Pharisees, then we will not inherit the kingdom of God. So we have to understand that there was a reason why Jesus was speaking to these guys in a pretty straight manner, because religion will not make you right. Religion won't get you to heaven, right? Religion has been such a huge problem in society over the years that it's caused a lot of difficulties. In fact, lots of wars happened because of religious beliefs and religious practices. Jesus came to say religion is not the issue. It's not the key. It's not the way we get where we need to go. And so when we talk about, oh, you're religious, you know, I don't know if that's a good thing, right? We need to be more like Jesus and understand what his will is. And so he was talking to these Sadducees and Pharisees and everybody else that was in the group, but I believe that he was pointing out a certain group of people at that point in time when he said, beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you will have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. So if you're doing it out of religious practices and doing it for you guys watch me do you know, see how good I am, then you've already gotten your reward. So when you give to the poor, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets so that they may be honored by men. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. But when you give to the poor, do not let your left hand know what your right hand's doing. Jim said, well, that's kind of hard for a drummer. But the reality is what the Lord's saying in this is that we need to keep it between us and him. Why we do it is a practice that the Lord puts it on our hearts, and we do it for the right reasons. If we're doing it to be seen, or we're doing it to show everybody that we give to the poor, and so look at me, then that's a wrong motive. And so we're looking at motives, why we do what we do. And so I know that the Lord speaks to me sometimes to do certain things, and I don't always do it, right? Do you? Do every time God speaks to you, do you always do what he says? And I got to say, I want to be better at that. I want to be better at just obeying when God says to do something. Because sometimes when he says to stop and give to somebody that's in need, I sometimes will talk myself out of it by saying, oh, yeah, they'll probably just go use the money to get drunk or to use it for drugs or something like that. But I don't know what's behind that, right? I can think I know, but a lot of times I don't know. I do say this, you need to be very careful about what you're doing. And if it's from the Lord, by all means do it. If it's just something that you want to do because somebody's standing on the street corner, be careful, because sometimes they don't use it in the right way. In fact, some of those guys make more money than you do. Right. So, but the reality is you need to have eyes to see what God's showing you in your heart and how you give. And giving sometimes isn't always money, right? Sometimes it's of yourself. Sometimes you bring that person into your home or bring them to a place where you can help them grow somehow spiritually. Maybe it's just your time. In fact, time, I believe people throw money at things when they shouldn't, and they should throw their self at it. It's real easy to throw money at things and make it go away. But it's harder to make that part of your life. And so that's why when we look at motives, we have to see what's God asking me to do, and then are we doing that? But when you give to the poor, do not let your left hand know what your right hand's doing. So do it out of the heart of giving and that the Lord speaks to you. so that your giving will be in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. You know, I think that's fascinating that when we do things out of right motives and do it for just to do what God has said, I don't even look at what the reward is. I don't even see, I'm not even thinking about rewards because I already know that I've been given everything and more. I've been given the depth of understanding who Jesus is. And if that was it, it would be worth it. And I think about my family and what I was raised and how I was raised. And I think about the wonderful things that he's given me as a person individually. First, a relationship with him. He's opened up the understanding that he exists to me. And he's drawn me to himself. I mean, how much more could you want than that? I mean, really, if you know Jesus and you know him, I mean, what more reward could you ask for? I mean, he's given us everything. I mean, this earth is not our home. And what we need to understand is that this is just a short life. I mean, really, it's pretty darn short. And then we have eternity. And so when we look at it through those eyes, nothing else seems to compare. And so when he's talking about rewarding us, I mean, man, I look at all the rewards we haven't even seen yet, right? But the rewards that we have right now, if we could just be thankful for God showing himself to us and allowing us to see the truth, that's a cool deal. I mean, that's rich all in itself. So that's a deep reward. So why wouldn't we want to give to someone else in need, in any kind of a need? But the reality is, I think we look at people as poor people, and I guarantee you guys, a lot of us don't even know what poor is. We have no idea. If you've ever been to a third world country and seen what real poverty is, what we have in our country isn't even compared. In fact, the most poverty of poverties is rich compared to them. I mean, they eat out of the garbage dumps, right? We don't know what poor is here. That's why I encourage you guys, if you ever get a chance to go on a mission trip somewhere and see the reality of poverty, you'll look at it differently than, I mean, you'll come back thinking we are so rich compared to a lot of the world. And we are. In fact, if you have a vehicle and a garage to park it in, you are in the top 3% of the world. If you have a car to drive and a garage to park it in, you're in the top 3% of the world. You got to understand how rich you really are. So when you pray, you are not to be. So Jesus is preaching, right? He takes it from one place right to another. The depth of his preaching is amazing because this sermon that he's given is like, he just takes it from one subject to another subject to another subject, and it all kind of fits into one area, and we'll talk about that in a minute. It says, when you pray, you're not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners so that they may be seen by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, closet, close your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And these rewards that the Lord's talking about here, we grab these things and we look at rewards like, oh, you're going to give me riches or stuff, right? Well, that might be part of it, but I really think it's a spiritual reward that you get more of a deeper relationship with God. That's really what I'm thinking where he's going with this, because seriously, when I've gone into the place of prayer and depth of prayer and I'm spending time with the Lord, I come out of that prayer closet rewarded. I do. I'm rewarded. I feel better. I feel like the Lord has touched me. He's heard my prayers. And that's my reward. And it's a good reward. I mean, you feel clean. You feel restored. And so I encourage you guys, if you haven't had a depth of prayer life, if your prayer life is lacking, then it's difficult. Listen, there's nothing easy about going into a quiet place and praying in your own tongue. Let me say that, because you actually kind of run out of things to pray about. But God is calling us into this spiritual depth, right? The understanding, he said, pray in the spirit. That's different than just praying out of your intellect, right? When you spend time with the Lord, things come to you that are different than just your mind, right? You're praying in the spirit. We are made up of mind, will, and emotions, our soul realm. And so if you're just praying in the soul realm, right, that's what you're praying out of, your intellect, your mind, your will, and your emotions. But we are made up of spirit, soul, body. And so the soul realm is the mind, will, and emotions. The spirit is what I'm talking about. When you get into your quiet and time with the Lord and you're praying, you're going to find out that in the spirit, the Lord gives you a depth of prayer life that's different than just out of the mind. Because you can pray for what you need or what you want, or about your day, or about what's going on in your life, about the sickness, or about Aunt so-and-so. But eventually you're going to come to a place where that's kind of it's not deep, right? It's not deep. But if you can get into the spiritual prayer life, you're going to find out that you are rewarded in a way that you just can't put words to. So when he's talking about praying here, he's talking about, and the reward, he's talking about the depth of his spiritual relationship with him. And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. So you keep repeating, "Oh Lord, help me win the lottery. Oh Lord, help me win the lottery. Lord, if only I could win the lottery, everything would be okay. Or if only you'd give me more money. Lord, if I had more money, everything would be okay. Lord, why is it I'm always struggling in my finances? Lord, if you'd just give me more." I was in that place for a while. You know what the Lord was teaching me? More money is not going to fix your problem. It won't. Right? He's wanting you to live each day according to what he gives you and be happy with what you've got. And then he'll give you more. But until you're good with what he's given you, and you're not in that place of praying for more, that you're just asking God, "Let your will be done in my life and help me be responsible with what you've given me and take each day for a day, because don't worry about tomorrow," then God will show you the next step. "So do not be like them, for their Father knows what you need." Your Father knows what you need before you ask him. "Pray then in this way." And here's where the Lord's Prayer comes into play. And if you really break this down, what Jesus is trying to say is he's talking about relationship here. And so he's saying this. He says, "Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Holy is your name, God. You are holy. Your kingdom come, your will be done." So it's bigger than just our little world here. He's talking about his kingdom. He's saying, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So what's God's will on earth? That all of his kids would know him. And our responsibility is to help that happen. The question is, do you know him? Do you hear him? Do you have a relationship with him? Are you praying without ceasing? Are you spending quality time with your Father? Or are you just going through the motions? "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day," give us today, "our daily bread." Don't worry about tomorrow. He's talking about today. Lord, take care of my today, not tomorrow, right now, in this moment. You guys, listen, your thing that you're doing right now in this moment, you will never pass this way again. Today is today. It's for you. Why are you so concerned about tomorrow when God has you looking and being concerned about today? Today is the day that you can do something that will change everything. It'll change your thinking, change your motives, change the atmosphere, change your family life. If you put your place in the place of humility before the Lord and spend time with Him and ask Him, Lord, what can I do today to make a difference? Not only to myself and my relationship with you, but maybe somebody else. Your whole vision of life will change. You'll be looking at things totally different. So he says, give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts. So we have debts, right? We owe other people, or we've done things that probably aren't right. That's a debt that we owe. And so forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors, those that owe us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. If you break that prayer down, there's so much depth in just those words. Just break it down and look at it in the dimension that Jesus was saying it. For if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. That's pretty solid. There's no gray area there, is there? Is there anybody in your life, past, present, or in the future that you can foresee that you have got issues with? Listen, there's only one thing you can do with this, right? Out of the soul realm, out of your mind, will, and emotions in the soul realm, you're never going to get to that place of total forgiveness unless you walk in the Spirit, unless you take it to the Lord and really come to a place where He can come in and heal that place in your life for others. And then he jumps right into another whole depth of message. And we could actually break these down and do a message on each one of these. We could. But I know you guys would be bored with me after a while. So then he's talking about fasting. So the very first words he says, when you fast. Does it say in God's word, if you fast? I mean, that was a question in my, because I'm a horrible faster. I love to eat, and I don't like starving myself, right? Because I like food. I've given everything else up, except for coffee. And so I like to eat, and that's the very reason why God wants us to do this. Why? Because it teaches us discipline. Discipline to say no to the flesh. Say no to that thing that's grabbing a hold of you. If you can do that just for a little while, and here's another thing you guys will find out when you fast, which is a tough thing, because if you stay with it long enough, the Spirit will open up. I mean, your spiritual life will actually open up to where the clarity of the Spirit, of God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, speaks clearer to you. And I have no, I can't tell you why, other than I know it's true. And all I can say is, if you don't believe me, try it, right? But this is not just starving yourself, right? We're fasting and praying. You're keeping your, every time you want to go eat, you pray. So that means you're going to pray a lot, right? Because I want to go eat all the time. So when you fast, you don't want other people to know what you're doing, right? You don't want to tell everybody, well, I'm going to be fasting this week, so pray for me. You know, I would like to say that because I need all the prayer I can get. But the reality is, it's between you and the Lord, and you're fasting before the Lord so that you can hear Him, and your clarity with Him and your relationship with Him will go deep. So it says, whenever you fast, do not put on the gloomy face as the hypocrites do, for they neglect their appearance so that they will be noticed by men. And then when they are fasting, truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you fast, anoint your head, wash your face, so that your fasting will not be noticed by men, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. So all of these things so far, you can look at this, and God is giving us rewards for relationship with him. And these heavenly rewards are really our understanding before him grows deeper. And we walk clear. We do better as we walk along. So he's saying when you fast, you're going to get a reward. What's the reward? It's going to be a spiritual reward. Your depth of spirit and relationship with him will go deeper. So it says, do not store up for yourselves treasure on earth where moth and rust destroy. He just keeps going. He keeps going. He's touching on all the elements of our walk in this life that's a difficult part of our life. So he's saying, do not store up for yourselves treasure on heaven where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And so you can break that down for yourself. You know, I don't know where you are in your spiritual walk with the Lord, but I know this, where our treasures are, if we're really tied up in something. I remember when I had my business going strong, I remember my treasure was making that thing work. I was so wrapped up in that work world that I didn't give God but a few seconds of the day, if that. Or I was asking him to help me do something. Lord, help this equipment run so I can get my job done. Right? My prayer life was just real shallow. I was wanting him to help me do worldly stuff. And so my prayer life wasn't in a place of where it should have been. And so I really honestly didn't know where I was at that time. I thought I was in a good place because everything was going pretty good, and he was with me. Trust me, he was with me through all of that stuff. And then once I asked him for certain things, I remember saying, Lord, I want a faithful wife, and he gave me Joey, and I wanted a son, right? Because that was my prayer. I wanted a son, somebody that I could share my life with, right? And God gave me a child. And and that's why when Joey says, well, when we got pregnant, and we was like waited forever and we were having all kinds of issues and we finally get pregnant, right? We're going to have this baby. And I'm going, yep, it's a boy. And Joey says, well, what if it's a girl? It's not. How do you know? Because I prayed for a son. Why would God give me a girl? Not to say that I wouldn't love a girl. I mean, I'd wished I could have had a girl too. But I really wanted a son. And so God gave me that, right? And then I asked for my own business because I wanted to work for myself. God let me do that. I wanted to build a log house my whole life, ever since I was a kid. It was one of those deep things that I just wanted to build. In fact, do you guys remember those little Lego things? Or not Legos back then. Yeah, they were Lincoln Logs. Lincoln Logs. I had some of those, right? And all I could build with that was a log house. I couldn't think of anything else to build but a log house, right? So I got to do that. And I mean, I've prayed for many, many things, and maybe you have too, right? You've prayed for many things, and God has answered a big majority of those things that I've prayed for. And why do you think he did that? Because he wants us to have our desires met. He wants to be there with us. He knows we have those things. And so he's willing to allow me and you to have those. Now, here in here, this walk with the Lord, as we go deeper with him, we start to find out that these things aren't satisfying me. Somehow, somewhere, there's something missing in the stuff. The stuff isn't doing it. The money isn't doing it. In fact, it's kind of shallow in some way. There's just no depth in it. And I'm not fulfilled with it. And so God says, okay, Dave, I want you, he asked me the question. He says, would you give up everything I've given you, your kingdom, right, what you've built here for me, for my kingdom. And it really, really comes down to this for you and me, for all of us here. He's asking us that all that question. He really is. You may not have heard it like I did. I mean, it was pretty clear. It was pretty clear that I was building my kingdom on earth. And he asked me to let go of my kingdom and start building his. And that was a tough one. Because that meant that I had to give away or let go of all of my dreams of my son inheriting a business, the one son that I always wanted, inherit the house that we got to build as a family, the property that we cleared together, and an inheritance for my children to come and my grandchildren, to let that dream go away and build his kingdom, whatever he wanted me to do. And that's what he's asking you. Whether you've heard it or not, the truth is, in your walk with the Lord, are you building your kingdom or are you building his? And what that means to you, only you and God know. But I know this, he wants to give you your heart's desire. And after every heart's desire that you've asked him for and he's given it to you, he's going to ask for more of you. And everybody I've talked to that understands these principles of God comes to this place of this world and everything in it is just meaningless compared to the greatness of our King. It just isn't going to last. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You ever heard that? Right? Now apply it to your life. The Lord's given you everything that you have. It's all his anyway. And the Lord can also take all that stuff away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Paul said this. He said, I have learned to be good with a lot, and I've learned to be good with a little. I've done both. And you know what? All of it's good. It's all good. Whatever God you choose for me to have, I'm good with. I'm good with that. And so are you content with what the Lord's given you? Or are you wanting more? Are you building your kingdom or are you building his? What's important? And where did I leave off? The eye is the lamp of the body. So then, if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow or reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothed the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Man, that's a rich passage. And so I bring it to you here. I want to say this to you, that everybody in this room has troubles and worries. There's not one of us here that don't. But what's Jesus saying to do with it? You know what? He cares for you. Do you trust him? Do you have faith that God will take care of your needs? Now, I don't know about your wants. That's another story. I'm talking about your needs, your daily needs, and your life with him and your life here on earth. What you'll wear, what you'll eat, where you live, how you'll pay your bills. I know some of you are financially struggling. I know that. I know there's difficulties that you just don't have enough finances to make the ends work. So what are you going to do about that? You're going to worry about it? What did the Lord just say? He said, don't worry about that. What he's saying is to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Who is going to add these things to you? Do you think you're going to make it happen? I guarantee you, try as you might, you won't get it done. In fact, the more you struggle and the more you blame everything else on all of that, it's just going to make it worse. So stop it. Bring yourself to a place of total surrender to your King and allow him to help you take care of it. Because he'll open the doors that need to be opened. But sometimes I believe we get in the way of God. We do. Or we're too proud to allow him to work in our life. We can fix it on our own. And God never intended you to fix it on your own. He wanted you to surrender it to him and let him deal with it. And let me tell you, that's an act of faith. And I can remember when we let our whole thing go. My kingdom was gone. I mean, I went back to school. We lived in a fifth-wheel trailer in Slumsville. Right? We did. And Chad was going to school. He went from a business owner's son who had a big name in our area, and everybody knew it, to trailer trash overnight. And I tell you what, that was painful for me. That's what they told him at school. They called him trailer trash. What they didn't know is I had enough money in the bank to be fine. Right? But we weren't talking about that. We were talking about what God asked us to do. And he asked us to do that, so we did it. And he went through an element of big time change overnight. And you know what? Now I look at it, it's the best thing that ever happened to him. Probably would have been a spoiled brat, which he kind of was, because he got everything. He worked hard, but he had everything. I mean, he had four-wheelers and toys and truck and all that stuff that people that have with money have, but it wasn't doing his spiritual life any good. And he got okay with it later on. He realized that, yep, you know what? I got some things to learn, and I certainly had some things to learn, because the things that God gave me like a son, was I teaching him the right things? Are you teaching your children the right things? Is it all about stuff? And when we're coming into Christmas and your tree is full of gifts underneath it and your credit card's at its limit, is that going to be good in the long haul? And is that what God's asked you to do? You'd be way better off to sit down and have great conversation for Christmas and give of yourself and not buy a thing. I actually called people, because we used to buy gifts for everybody we knew. And when I didn't have the business going anymore, Joy and I called everybody and said, please, you guys understand, we love you just as much now as we did before, but we're not buying gifts for everybody anymore. We can't afford it. But we'll give you ourselves. what all we have is what we have, and that's us. And we started a trend, actually. We really did. It worked out pretty neat because everybody's going, yeah, well, I always wanted to do that too. Well, you get permission. You don't have to buy nothing. But you have to give of yourself. That's the trade-off. Give of your time. And so some of you guys are sitting in the boat right now financially where you're asking the Lord, God, how am I going to make this work? How am I going to get this done? And God's saying, come to me, all you are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. Seek ye first. Seek ye first. So what's the number thing? One thing you got to do. Seek the Lord. In every matter that's on your heart, every issue that you're dealing with right now, if it's financial, if it's a spiritual battle you're going through, if it's sickness, if there's sickness that's going on in your homes, and some of you guys have that. Some of you guys have had that, and you don't know how the heck you're going to pay the bill. All those things have caused worry. And what did the Bible say? It's not going to change one thing to sit there and stew and worry about it. What's he say to do? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and see what he'll do. Watch and see how things happen. It's amazing as we surrender to the Lord what happens. And it might be totally different than what you think will happen, but you see it when it happens. Right? You know it. Spiritually, you know God just did something. I think it's better not to have nothing and watch God do miracles in my life than to have everything and take care of it myself. Why? Because it gives me no faith. But when you're in a place where you don't have any way of taking care of it, there's nothing you can do, stop worrying and you take it to the Lord and he makes a way, guess what you get? You get not only a testimony, but you can give the glory to God because he got it done. You didn't. And that might mess with your pride a little bit, but what's the Bible say about pride? Yeah, not good. It's good that we're dead to ourselves. It's good that we give it all to the Lord. It's good that we listen to him because there's principles in his Bible that'll keep us from getting there again. Right? When we learn that Billy had something he shared with this morning. Is it okay if I share that? That what he was hearing the Lord speak to him this morning as we were praying and talking, that the Lord wants us to learn from our mistakes and not go there again, not get beat up by it, but know that, yeah, that was a mistake, but I've learned something. And so that's where wisdom comes from. And we learn the best lessons through our failures. And some of you guys might have gotten yourself in debt. Maybe it was your fault. But don't sit there and stew about it or worry about it. Give it to the Lord and live by his principles. Give, and it'll be given to you. Right? Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. But it comes back to that relationship with him. And the whole message comes to that. Comes to into that place of really coming into your prayer closet and seeking him with all that you are and get a relationship going and watch and see what happens. So I want to leave it like this. If you want to find something to play and prayer team, if you would come up. This is where the rubber meets the road. And this is where sometimes your pride gets in the way, you guys. And you have an issue going on in your life. And you know, because the Holy Spirit's speaking to you right now, that there's financial issues that I can't fix. There's family issues that I can't fix. There's things that I need to happen that I can't make happen. And I know I need to just confess that before the Lord. I need to say it. I need to say, Lord, I can't fix this. And so today I'm seeking you first and your kingdom and your righteousness. And you're going to have to take care of it. Why? Because you just said worrying isn't going to change anything. And you asked me to bring it to you. So today I'm going to do that. So whatever that is, Today's your opportunity to lay it on the altar before the Lord and say, God, this is yours. And watch and see what happens. And then you know what the cool thing is? We get to hear the miracle. We get to hear what God does in the midst of it and how he does it. Because he is alive and well and he cares for you. He does.